Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. My name is Melissa Fisk. I'm the producer of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, and today I am joined by Hakeem Bashir, who is a senior learning and development manager at Carnival Cruise Line. He is got an extensive background, but during COVID moved to hospitality and has never looked back. Hakeem, welcome to the Novo Ed Talks podcast, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for having me with you on this episode.
Absolutely. Why don't you start by jumping right in and introducing yourself a little bit more, talking about your role, your company, and maybe even giving us a little bit of a background as to why you kind of jumped over to hospitality during COVID.
Absolutely. Thank you again. My name is Abed Bashir. Like you said, I'm the Senior Learning Organization Development Manager at Carnival Cruise Line. I have over 15 years of experience. I've worked in academia as a school teacher, then as a college teacher. Then I moved to work in consulting. And prior to COVID, I was at Microsoft. I worked in technical, non-technical roles. And when COVID happened, I was laid off and I was looking for a change. I used to live in Seattle, Washington. And for a long time, you can tell I grew up in the Middle East. I like warm weather. So I was looking one for an industry that brings me closer to work with customers that's more aligned with my culture, which is a hospitable culture, but also to be close to a sunny place and close to the beach. So I took a leap of faith to move to Miami, Florida, and joined Carnival Cruise Line as their learning programs manager. And from there, I climbed up to now being the senior manager. I oversee, in my current role, I oversee the design, the implementation of onboarding, leadership development, performance management. My focus is on building high-performing teams through data-driven learning experiences, executive coaching, scalable development programs that enables both individual and business growth. Sorry.
Wow, that is quite a bit. Also, I feel like you're a great example of why everyone should maybe, you know, quit their jobs and move to their dream location, right? Because it seems to have worked out really well for you. Now, you just talked about a lot of different kind of learners and programs that you oversee. What are some of kind of the general challenges that they face?
Well, so in my current role, our learners range from shipboard team members to shoreside corporate employees and senior leaders. Our current team members, if we want to take the example of shipboard team members, they come from over 100 countries. They speak over 75, 80 languages on any given ship at any given time.
Wow.
One of the biggest challenges is delivering for us Designing and delivering consistent high-impact learning across such diverse global workforce that operates in a 24/7 environment. Team members need training that's on demand, that's seamlessly integrated into their workflow, while corporate employees require leadership development, cross-function collaboration, data-driven decision-making skills. So you can see the needs are different, the environment, the tools are different. Also, another challenge is navigating the digital transformation that we are witnessing now. Since COVID, we have witnessed a massive transformation. We are at the cusp of AI being integrated into so many things in our daily lives and our work, in every aspect of our lives. So as we integrate new technologies, we focus on ensuring that learning remains accessible, engaging, and tailored to the different levels and different employees we work with.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure that is quite the challenge with that's such an amazing stat that you said at the beginning. There are like 75 to 80 languages on a ship. Like how, and that's just on like one ship. Then you're talking about programs for the whole organization. I can only imagine. How do you approach some of these challenges?
So one major challenge for us when you think of the cruise industry, the team members on board, how we describe them, they are the money-making machine for a company. Our role in the corporate office or as corporate employees is to empower them with the tools, with the knowledge, with the resources, but eventually our salaries, I always make that very clear to my team members. Our salaries are paid by the shipboard team members. So why this matters? Because scaling these programs to them without losing that personalization touch. Our job here is to lead the design, the execution, but also to stay relevant to them and to have the feedback from them in such way that we can act on it, that we can show them that we are addressing their needs. We listen to them. So that's always a big thing. Also taking into consideration how diverse they are and their needs are different. Now, we all know that we have organizational business objectives that we have to achieve, but at the same time, I cannot abandon what the learners want. So balancing these two, in my opinion, is one of the most critical skill set for someone navigating these two environments.
Yeah, absolutely. You're trying to answer to two different people. Speaking of that, how do you kind of address some of like the skills gaps to in order to stay agile in like a changing workforce? Like with having, needs that you have to meet for the cruise line, how are you assessing whether or not, people are missing some of the skill sets they need?
That's a good question. So, at Carnival Cruise Line, if you think of when we think of the industry, it's not even a thinking, it's how it's historically and it's in reality is structured. So a ship will have two main components. So a component one will be the marine department or the marine section where you have a number of jobs fall under the marine, and then a number of jobs fall under hotel. These are the two major things. So when we think of the marine department or the marine departments, plural, we have developed here a competency framework that is evidence-based, data-driven, that we have certified number of assessors. So these competencies are mapped per role, each one So if you have a cadet who would like to climb the ladder to become a first, second, third, whatever the job or the scenario might be, the pathway is mapped out for them in such way that makes it that one creates a seamless learning job progression path, but also transparent. Now, when we look at the other side of hotel, we have a similar thing called capability framework. And the capability framework is similar in a way, but it aligns more with the needs of the hotel employees. Together, when a team member comes at the end for their talent review or end of contract or succession planning, all these pieces come together to enable the manager and the employee who are both conducting and are involved in that process, that you have a holistic view of this is where you are, these are the expectations, these are the competencies or capabilities, you are here, you're ready to move up to, or you still have X, Y, and Z skills or capabilities that you need to develop. So, in a nutshell, we take an evidence-based approach to that.
Sure. And you kind of
We
have
try
clear.
to define the gaps.
Yeah. And you have those like kind of clear pathways for each kind of thing, which I feel like helps for to kind of have those benchmarks to measure against for like, hey, if you want to go here, you have to have
Correct.
this. That being said, you know, how do you like, how does your team kind of stay, you know, aware and like ch ever changing your strategies to make sure that your workforce like remains adaptable and prepared as kind of the skill sets change, or maybe they don't change as, you know, in your line of work change as rapidly as they do in other organizations, but how do you kind of handle that?
No, that's a good question. And just to share an insight, among the entire cruising industry, not just our company, it is one of the cruising hospitality industry is one that, despite it being ships, but it moves at a fast-paced environment with high attrition rates among the entire cruise industry. That being said, when we are learning strategies that we design for every year, not just for a year, we ensure that it is tied to the business impact every year or every, so you have your annual, your 3 year, your 5 year measurable KPIs. We place a big emphasis on performance and talent mobility metrics. So tracking leadership promotions, succession plannings, internal mobility after completing certain key programs. So, for example, on board, the life cycle of an employee always starts with any given employee, whether you're in marine or in hotel. It starts with something called All Aboard. That's your onboarding program that's a 30-day program that aims to create the seamless integration into our culture. So everybody is exposed to that same level of care. Everybody is assigned what we refer to as a shipmate. Eventually, it's a mentorship program. And they go through a 4 week journey. Now, from that, everybody goes into their departments and they have their departmental trainings or on the job trainings. You have compliance trainings. Now, each employee, if we go back to the capability and competency, each employee, based on their level, go into certain paths. So you have programs designed for first-time supervisors, for first-time managers, for leaders. Now, certain executive positions on board, so when you think of the captain, the chief engineer, the hotel director, the human resource director, there's a different level of care that goes into these because these individuals, we look at them as your trailblazers, your champions, who will, they're basically your culture gatekeepers. So retaining them, keeping them engaged, that's extremely important. So focusing on that, focusing on how the team members view them. So there's this annual quarterly annual monthly pulse checks, engagement rates, regression, competency and skills progression. We look at those business impact that takes for us takes a couple of years to look at ROIs, but we still look into these things, report and identify where there are gaps, where we have to improve. So multiple metrics, but they're the backbone of how we do our operation.
Yeah.
Everything is data driven.
That's awesome. And that kind of gets right into my next question is how do you kind of measure the effectiveness of your programs and what are some of those core KPIs that you look at?
Yeah, so it's funny enough, we're all just looking at them this morning. So we like I mentioned before, we take evidence-based approach to these, and anyone in the L&D space will be following these, the Kirkpatrick model, so level 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we any of our programs, it could be as simple as a workshop, or it could be as complicated as a 6 months program on board, will go through these 4 levels. So level one is reaction, basically an easy, just smiley face, the ENBS score of said program or workshop. Second one is knowledge gain or knowledge improvement, where we look at pre and post, and if there's improvement. Three, behavioral change. So that typically takes us 6 to 9 months that we look and we work collaboratively with department heads to learn if a team member certain behavior improved, leadership improved, or taking initiative, or whatever the competency we're looking at, or whatever the objective of the program is being reflected behaviorally. And lastly, we look at ROI, return on investment. But like I said earlier, this is a more complicated process that goes through certain process, but eventually through dashboards and conversations with leaders, and then looking at, again, everything goes back to the objective of the program. Also, how it is structured in the cruise line industry is that you have the team members on board. Each department has what we call fleet managers. So if you take, for example, like guest service, learning and development, marine, based on the size of the department, they have a fleet manager who becomes their functional leader, or, and if you put it in other terms, is the go-between shipboard and corporate employees. And that person or team are responsible for following up with departments, conducting focus groups, unofficial conversations, or facilitating certain engagements between corporate and the shipboard team members. And in some cases where we have something very strategic, we go to the ships, whether we spend time with them or go for an observation day visit and just see how things are going and having these conversations with the leadership on board.
Wow. Sounds like you guys have it very dialed in. I'm a data person myself, so I love being able to draw things back to objectives and metrics and things like that, but that's very impressive. Do you have a specific like case study or example of an initiative that has significantly impacted employee performance that you could share?
We can talk about one. So Carnival Cruise Line had like, or Carnival as a company has been in this business for now 52 years. So we're the oldest and the largest cruise company in the world. And prior to COVID, the onboarding experience used to be one way. And after COVID, like I mentioned, there was a lot of adjustments. We had to now change everything we're doing and meet the new challenges of post-COVID era. And with that came certain tweaks into how we onboard and retain our team members. And one of which is the one that I mentioned earlier was the All Aboard program. And it's one of those because the way we look at onboarding as an experience, your first 90 days, and that's evidenced by a lot of studies, the employee's first 30 days either make or break and decides whether this team member employee stays with the company or leaves the company. So one of the success stories is that we designed it in a way to focus on three things. One, the feeling. So I know feelings is not a word that's thrown around a lot into when you design or in the corporate world, but the content, the experience itself builds on and is tied to, so builds on employees' perceptions and experience, but it is tied to the company's culture. That's one. Number two, each team member, when they join and are onboarded, they are connected or matched with a shipmate mentor or a mentor that works with them the first 30 days. The mentor essentially serves as their confidant, their guide, someone who can answer any and all questions they want. But here's the other fun thing that we added to it, which is their experience, the way we measure their experience. So we worked with psychologists, a team of psychologists, to build sort of a questionnaire or a survey that we share with the team members weekly in their first 30 days. And each of them, each week, they answer a number of questions and they are in categories. So for example, a feeling of being welcomed, a number of questions, a feeling of being safe, all about that feeling.
I love that.
And then these results are shared with the leaders of that department. In fact, we share the questions before the team member joins. So we tell the leader, keep in mind, for
They're gonna ask.
transparency, we will be asking team members these questions. These are the expectations. So expectations are communicated upfront, and then the team member will report on them. So it goes all about the feeling of connection, culture, being welcome, the shipmate is helpful, all of these. And then we gather these results, and that's where it helps us to address any gaps, whether it's related to the culture, to the department, to the leader, to the shipmate, to the working environment, to safety.
Yeah.
So that's how we look at it. And it, quite honestly, we have one of the best retention rates in the industry.
That's amazing. And that's so, I've never heard of anyone doing that, but that's so smart, like to be able, because I think that's something that everyone struggles with, right? Is like, how do you quant, like, you have these like core, pillars that you want to make up your culture and, your place of employment, but it's so hard for folks to figure out like how do we measure whether or not like we're delivering on those like core pillars, and like to tie it back to a feeling that way with like a subset of questions, I think is so smart. And I feel like not, I haven't heard of anyone ever doing that. So I love that. That's great. What role does technology play in your programs? And are there specific tools and platforms that you want to talk to that enhance kind of some of these learning or mentoring experiences?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that. Technology is like the backbone of modern learning. And sometimes it can be overwhelming to team members. In some places it can be a lot. And in some cases we're guilty of it as well, because we want our team members to have all the tools possible. But working on board for extended hours, team members are exhausted at the end. So we try to leverage technology in several ways. So one, on demand. My focus is an on demand. So we all know the whole traditional story of one size fits all, and our team members are the opposite of one size fits all, are the opposite of come at this time to complete this. All I know is we do have certain compliance trainings that have to happen in the first 30 days. Those are a must, and le the leadership on board ensures that team members complete these. But for the remaining of their contract on board, they have a number of tools, platforms that are available on their phones. We have a learning and development office on each ship with laptops, iPads, with books, even the traditional way, that allows team members at any given time to access all sorts of technology, or all sorts of platforms. So you have platforms for language learning, platforms for technical trainings, for soft skills training. So we leverage LinkedIn, Coursera. We leverage certain things that are proprietary. Carnival is one of the companies that we have a lot of proprietary platforms that our team members have access to, that keeps them up to date with requirements, with or to do their job more efficiently or better, or whatever the case might be. Predictive insights, data analytics for us here on the receiving end is a big thing. There's a say on my team that I hold every team member accountable to, where it goes, "In God we trust, everybody else brings the data," and it's not mine. I think it's the founder of IBM. But data is what makes or breaks any decision, at least that I would hold my team or we make here. So that's why I always try to hold myself to the highest standard, that we have so much experience, but our experience alone is not gonna make it. So we have to listen to our team members, to their feedback, look at the analytics of each program we own. There's some programs we own, and then sometimes we leverage external vendors. But even then, we still have access to data that we can pivot, iterate, sunset certain thing, and just come up with something new that meets the needs of the team members.
Yeah, that's great. And technology, I feel like you said it, is kind of the backbone of modern learning. Like it, we need
Correct.
it, you know? Speaking of that, you know, as this is kind of a two-part question, looking back and then looking forward, but, you know, especially with you coming on, you know, the team maybe right during COVID, you know, over the past 5 years, what are some of the key kind of takeaways you've seen change?
Yeah, a lot has changed and it continues to. And yeah, so personally, just joining in the thick of COVID, and I look at the evolution of learning and development, what are my current company or just being close in the industry and working across different industries, there's now that significant shift from training, learning or learning programs or siloed learning programs to now a focus on the talent enablement aspect of L&D. It is no longer about content delivery or putting together some program in a silo because somebody thought so or somebody came up with an idea. Now the focus is way more on workforce agility, leadership growth, talent retention, also taking into consideration a new workforce that is joining, a new workforce that is joining, and a workforce that is, in a few years will be retiring. So the needs are shifting, and we have to stay up. We have to stay current with it. Also, another big shift is what we were talking about, data. Data is a king in our industry at this point. If you're a skilled data manager, or if you're, let me maybe rephrase this. If you're a skilled L&D manager or talent manager, will leverage data analytics to measure impact, and that is now the shift in L&D. It is all about the impact and how you align it with business goals. It used to be extremely hard, and I was impacted by it in the past, where it is really hard to quantify what you do. At least that's the that this is the past. Nowadays, it is not. Nowadays, it is an ex it's essential. It's an expectation that whatever learning program you have forward in 6 months, in a year, you have to report on it in such a way that shows that it meets, it's aligned to business goals. It's driving impact. If it's not, then there is a fundamental issue with your design or with your inputs or your objectives. The third thing that I'm observing quite very obviously nowadays is the shift from continuous learning. People talk about continuous learning all the time. I'm a lifelong learner. That's great. But now it is more, the focus and the shift is now more on the organizational resilience. So companies that invest in upskilling and investing in their leadership development will navigate the future much, much more effectively because you have these certain industries. It takes time to develop such leadership and such talents. And sorry to say it, but colleges are not preparing students right away to step out of college into the workforce. There's that gap. So companies that invest in that, in the upskilling of their current employees, will be able to navigate more effectively. So.
Yeah. Agreed, agreed. To close on kind of a positive note, what's the most important lesson you've learned as a leader that you'd pass on to someone just starting their journey?
Yeah, that's one of the questions I sit down a lot to reflect on. But one of the questions I would share with anyone starting or anyone that's even to myself, always lead with curiosity, not with authority. That's one. Always ask the right questions. Empower your teams. Listen carefully. Listen more than you talk.
Yeah.
Listen to your team members, listen to your employees. It will open a lot of doors. It will open doors you didn't even know existed. To me, the second thing, prioritize people over processes. A lot of companies tend to be very strong at setting all these fancy processes that it ends up being in the long haul ends up being a blocker rather than an enabler. So prioritize people, seek feedback early, and if you have to fail, fail forward. That's a principle we learned in the tech industry. And if anything, if all fails, just ensure that you're adaptable. Adaptable is your it will make or break your career. Be adaptable. Leadership is all about navigating change, not resisting it. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Hakeem, that's all amazing advice, but I love what you started out with. Just lead with curiosity, not with authority. I think that is such a good position for any leader to take. Thank you so much for joining us on the NovoEd Talks podcast today. Your experience and insights here that you've shared, I'm sure, are going to resonate with a lot of folks and really, really kind of help them, reflect on what they're doing, because I feel like you guys are very, advanced and very dialed in on some of these programs and how you're addressing skills gaps and keeping the workforce adaptable. I think, you've shared a lot here that anyone can kind of take to their organization and try and implement. So thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. That was really fun.
Good. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in once again to the NovoEd Talks podcast.